Having too much fun over in the corner? Penalize 5 yards. Right? Okay? Fantastic. Thank you so much. The big worry that I had when I made this up like a month and a half ago was that two people would show up and then I'd be sitting here going, nobody loves me. What a fantastic discussion that we will have tonight. Just to set the context here, my profession right now is that I'm a business coach, and I've done lots of facilitation of group discussions and things like that. Some groups much larger than this, probably as large as maybe 250 people, whatever. So hopefully my experience will help a bit. Not so sure. We'll see how this turns out. This came from a discussion that I had with Arlene about a month and a half ago, and I said, I'm called to serve the colloquium in some way. I'm not exactly sure how. And she says, well, you know, we did have the program set a year ago. And it's like, yeah, but... So we kick around some ideas, and this is what ended up. I was a Scola director for 5 years, no longer doing that. I'm singing in a Scola at a different parish. I was really studying how is it that we form our Scolas, how do we attract the right people, how do we get people energized, and then, ongoing, how do you keep people? Because everybody has their own agendas. We like to have lives and stuff. And they don't want to wander off and do other things. They don't want to be sucked into the school for the rest of their life. And so if you're a director, part of your job is to want to suck them into the school for the rest of their life. Or at least as, you know, for a few years. Well, they're inspired.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's where this discussion came from. So, a couple of ground rules. First ground rule, this is not a pitch set. Not allowed, okay? And I will come over and whack you if I hear it, right? Now, if you want a pitch session, go have a beer afterwards, that's fine. Do whatever you want to, that's great, right? But it's not the energy that we are going to have in the room tonight, okay? This is about being constructive, all right? So, second ground rule, I want to capture this information. We have gold in the 40 or so brains and souls that are in this room. Absolute gold, the finest that we can bring to the church. So, it's important that we capture it. I gave each table a piece of paper, all right? Somebody needs to capture this because I need that piece of paper at the end of tonight because this discussion needs to live on outside. We are creating this for the next generation of school directors, choir directors, and people who are attempting to form groups, right? So it's not just the people in this room. We are Communion of Saints, right, guys? Right?
Right.
And so
right.
Thank you.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
Wow.
Amen, Brother Carl.
Preach it.
So you need to keep that. I'll take on the work of transcribing those notes. If you want a copy of them, I will, of course, put a pointer to it on the forum. I know most people aren't on the forum. That's okay. I've got business cards. Grab one of my cards, send me an email, and I'll send you all the information, and we can stay in touch that way. I'm also catching a recording. I'm not sure that it'll sound like anything because it's fairly chaotic in here, so I don't put up much over that. Yeah, what is it? Yeah, you can do that. Okay. So now let's talk about the process tonight. besides eating dinner and having a fun and great conversation. There's a technique that comes from the business world called appreciative inquiry. Anybody heard of this before? No, really? Wow. Zero. Awesome. Well, then I can make it up. I don't have to worry about being correct. All right. Appreciative inquiry comes from an alternative way of thinking. Normally, what we do in the business world is we define a problem, then we work towards a solution. There's lots of ways of doing that, but you know, generally, you identify the problem, you identify the solution, then you go do the solution. What people have noticed is that defining things by problems starts by sucking all the energy out of the room. And so an alternative way of thinking came about, which says, how about if instead of starting with the problem, we will start with what works, all right? And we can steal it from our Scola context, we can steal it from our personal lives, we can steal it from the business world, your jobs, you know, other volunteering things that you've done, wherever, okay? But the idea is to bring all of this collective knowledge now into the room, and we're starting with what works, right? So it's a positive way of doing it, right? We don't care about what works because we don't want to do that again. So we start with what works. Now, appreciative inquiry has four steps to it. First step is define, so it's to set the context of what we're talking about, because we might want to know what works for somebody controlling their golf swing. Is that really appropriate to our discussion tonight? I don't know. If you find a connection, go for it. But, you know, to me, that's probably out in the weeds somewhere. The second step is to discover. So this is the creative process where we say, all right, let's discover what works. And that's what the sheets of paper are for. Now, the third and the fourth steps that we will not get to tonight are to what was the third B? Oh, crap. Okay. Okay, so we'll say that it's defined, that to define what the solution is that we want to put in place. Okay, and the fourth one is to do it. Okay, so four D's. All right. But in your context, if you are a Scola director, if you're that cheerleader for a volunteer group of any sort, your challenge is to take off and do those last two steps in your home parish. Okay, so define, discover, describe. Right, I think that's what I messed up, and then do. Okay? Now, if you go and Google appreciative inquiry, you'll find a nice whole Wikipedia page on it, and it's pretty informative, and, you know, as Wikipedias want to be, it's probably 95% correct, but that's okay, of course not. Okay? So, our challenge is to generate ideas, to capture ideas, and then, as we go home, after the end of this week, take this knowledge back to our parents and to then define and do in our home parishes as leaders. Okay? So, any questions at this point? Okay. The define now is that we are trying to look at what works in a parish volunteer context. Okay? Yeah. So that's the purpose of the entire evening, right? Okay? Trying to surface out what works in a parish volunteer context. Okay. So the first question, work on this for the next 10 minutes. In between eating and drinking and having other fun, okay, is let's capture the ideas that have attracted people to join choir in school. Okay? What brought you to a choir? It may have been 20 years ago, I don't care. What attracted you in the first place? All right? Everybody's having too much fun. Sorry about that. But there's no servers around, so I thought I'd take advantage of the opportunity. So, I'd like to hear a few ideas that surfaced here. So, would somebody like to volunteer? Tell me something that came up at your table, not from you. Yes?
Karaoke night. Identify the singers and then invite them later.
Wow. No. He is having too much to drink. All right, what else did you hear from somebody else, not from you? Who can match that? Come on. There we go. Yes. Money? Wow. I want to go here. Awesome. Who else? No, we're not talking about the rock. We're talking about what's worth. And yes, you can write people. Okay, somebody at this table, what did you hear?
History music
theory. Yeah. Awesome. Music lessons and theory for children. And when they're young. Okay. More food coming? Here is the second question for the next 10 minutes. Second question. When you have stayed engaged with a volunteer activity for a long period of time, why did you do that? I don't care if it's music, or even it doesn't even have to be church related, okay? But when you stayed with something for a decent amount of time, especially like years, why did you do that? Okay, so put down Gil. Okay. Okay, so 10 minutes on the paper. How are we doing, folks?
Good, how are you?
I'm getting full, thank you. It's very excellent food. So, how's this discussion? Coming up with good stuff? Okay. How many people attended the Elisa's presentation today about Mary Berry and all that? Oh, I saw some of you.
You mean the Wardman?
The Wardman.
Oh, okay.
What did I say?
Mary Berry.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. Mary Berry is a different kind.
That's a very interesting
book. Yes. So, one of the things that's interesting about that method is how they cement learning by reinforcing it in multiple ways. In that case, there's the physical learning, the physical activities, writing notes as numbers, writing notes as notes, all kinds of things like that. So, in the context of this discussion tonight, one of the things that's cementing it is bringing these ideas out, writing them down, but also being able to talk about it to larger groups. We don't have the time or the facility to go through everything, but I love the fantastic ideas that are coming out, especially ones people are able to talk about and getting jazzed about. So if you were not able to attend that session today, I highly recommend it. You'll learn a whole lot about how to get people up to speed on your learning chance, even starting with people that can't sing on pitch and can't carry a tune in the bucket. Okay, this table over here. What good idea did you hear that you didn't bring up yourself? There's got to be one. Feeling obligated. Okay. Yay, pass or guilt. You bet. Very strong, powerful. Okay.
Yeah.
How about you guys here?
What did you come up with? Yeah. Devalued number, okay. Friendship. Oh! So the people feeling needed because they're a
part. It just breaks it down.
Yeah, I'm a safe man. Yeah, we're the important one. We're the foundation of the choir. How about you over here? What do you think?
So you're not turned out. Now that's interesting. It's really, it's here.
So that it's not
here.
And you
can
convince
them.
Send
here and get enough to
Okay, so this is an interesting question, folks. She said setting up and having breaks, having seasons, that kind of thing. How many people in their choirs and their scholas have a break of any kind that lasts more than like 2 weeks? Yeah. I know, I figured 2 weeks is like money and kidneys. You can't de-stress in 2 weeks. Okay, so fair number here. I was a member of an RCIA team for about 20, 25 years. And that's even more intense than being in a choir, let me tell you. And one of the things that kept me going for all those years was we took every summer off. And we had the big Easter season, went through Pentecost, and then had our final year party. And then take the summer off. Maybe we'll have a planning party or something like that. But, you know, not real work, really. Certainly not every Tuesday night from now to the end of time. So, I like that. I'm a big fan of myself. I know there are people who think that they cannot take breaks or don't want to, and that's fine. But, you know, the danger I think about is I think it does burn people out a little bit when you are going on and on and on every week for ages. I think you can burn out easily that way. Okay. Yes. So here's another one that I've seen work too. She was saying that they have a large enough people in their choir where it's no big deal when somebody wants to check out for a little while, like having a life, going on vacation, whatever, having conflicts with your kids. And yeah, you know, giving people the freedom and saying it's okay to not have to show up each and every week, not going to heap the guilt on you. I'm a member of a group that, with our local Chamber of Commerce, again, it's a totally volunteer thing. It's two meetings every week, and each meeting ends up taking probably 2 hours of your time with driving and all that kind of stuff. And it ends up being a big obligation. They have set a standard to say, we expect attendance of 50%. And that gives people the freedom to make the decision. So when I wander off to colloquium for a week, I don't have to worry about it. I'm, you know, well over 50%, no big deal for me. It's not like people are going to look bad on me or I'm going to be on somebody's bad list because I did that. So, interesting approach, very good. So, the question for the next 10-minute segment here is, when you see volunteer organizations of any kind that are able to attract and retain volunteers, what makes the organization special? What's unique about that? What's compelling? What's interesting? What's, you know, fun? What is it that is special about the organization of why it's attracting people and why it's able to keep people for a decent amount of time? Okay? Thank you. How's this discussion? Coming up with good stuff?
Yeah.
No?
What's the question?
Okay.
How many people attended the Elisa's presentation today about Mary Berry and all that? Oh, I saw some of you.
You mean the ward member?
The ward member.
Oh,
oh. What did I say?
Mary Berry.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. Mary Berry is a different kind.
That's a very interesting
program. Yes. So one of the things that's interesting about that method is how they cement learning by reinforcing it in multiple ways. In that case, there's the physical learning, the physical activities, writing notes as numbers, writing notes as notes, all kinds of things like that. So in the context of this discussion tonight, one of the things that's cementing it is bringing these ideas out, writing them down, but also being able to talk about it to larger groups. We don't have the time or the facility to go through everything, but I love the fantastic ideas that are coming out, especially ones people are able to talk about and getting jazzed about. So if you were not able to attend that session today, I highly recommend it. You'll learn a whole lot about how to get people up to speed on your learning chance, even starting with people that can't sing on pitch and can't carry a tune in the bucket. Okay, this table over here. What good idea did you hear that you didn't bring up yourself? There's got to be one. Feeling obligated. Okay. Yay, pass or guilt. You bet. Very strong, powerful. Okay. Yeah. How about you guys here? What did you come up with? Yeah. Being valued member, okay. Friendship. Oh, so the people feeling needed because they're in a part.
It just breaks it down.
Yeah, I'm the faith man. Yeah, we're the important one. We're the foundation of the choir. How about you over here? What do you think?
So you're not turned out. Now that's interesting. It's really
obscure. So that it's not
ever had
to
be
convinced.
Yeah.
Or said here again enough to
Okay, so this is an interesting question, folks. She said setting up and having breaks, having seasons, that kind of thing. How many people in their choirs and their scholas have a break of any kind that lasts more than like 2 weeks? Yeah. I know, I figured 2 weeks is like money and kidneys. You can't de-stress in 2 weeks. Okay, so fair number here. I was a member of an RCIA team for about 20, 25 years. And that's even more intense than being in a choir, let me tell you. And one of the things that kept me going for all those years was we took every summer off. And we had the big Easter season, went through Pentecost, and then had our final year party, and then take the summer off. Maybe we'll have a planning party or something like that, but you know, not real work, really. Certainly not every Tuesday night from now to the end of time. So, I like that. I'm a big fan of it myself. I know there are people who think that they cannot take breaks or don't want to, and that's fine, but you know, the danger I think about is I think it does burn people out a little bit when you are going on and on and on every week for ages. I think you can burn out easily that way. Okay? Yes.
I used to do a couple of summers ago. I would have to go with somebody to say, one day we're going to talk.
So here's another one that I've seen work too. She was saying that they have a large enough people in their choir where it's no big deal when somebody wants to check out for a little while, like having a life, going on vacation, whatever, having conflicts with your kids. And yeah, you know, giving people the freedom and saying it's okay to not have to show up each and every week, not going to heap the guilt on you. I'm a member of a group that, with our local Chamber of Commerce, again, it's a totally volunteer thing. It's two meetings every week, and each meeting ends up taking probably 2 hours of your time with driving and all that kind of stuff. And it ends up being a big obligation. They have set a standard to say, we expect attendance of 50%. And that gives people the freedom to make the decision. So when I wander off to Colloquium for a week, I don't have to worry about it. I'm, you know, well over 50%, no big deal for me. It's not like people are going to look bad on me or I'm going to be on somebody's bad list because I did that. So interesting approach, very good. So the question for the next 10-minute segment here is, when you see volunteer organizations of any kind that are able to attract and retain volunteers, what makes the organization special? What's unique about that? What's compelling? What's interesting? What's, you know, fun? What is it that is special about the organization of why it's attracting people and why it's able to keep people for a decent amount of time? Okay? Thank you. So how was this question? Was it harder?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I didn't want to give you the easy stuff. Okay, so this table here, what do you guys come up with? Show us your brilliance.
Okay, this is what makes successful organizations attractive to volunteers. We are giving them concrete and valuable work.
Can you speak up?
There we go. Okay, so the answer to the question. Give them valuable and important work to do. Ooh. Purpose for being there. How about that? That's
purpose.
Yeah. Well, that's business speak, you know. Vision, mission, blah, blah, blah.
Actually, it doesn't start there.
Yeah. We won't go into the BS part.
Right.
Okay, this table, what you could show us your brilliance. Show appreciation. Hey, isn't that amazing? So, yeah, absolutely. So here's the challenge for you folks. You're doing all this, and people are working their butts off every week, and they're coming to Mass, and, you know, maybe like my parish, the congregation feels obligated to clap at the end of Mass. I'm not going to go there. I've tried to fight that battle, and it doesn't work. But, hang on. Okay, so the question is, how does your scola, your choir, and your group know that you personally appreciate this? How do they know that the priest appreciates this, the clergy in general? We have a deacon who never ever fails to walk up to the choir and say, you know, I really appreciate what you guys do. And it's, yeah, how about that? Isn't that amazing? That's wonderful. I don't know why he doesn't, but it's great. Okay? And how do they know that it helps not make the Mass more fun? We had that talk this afternoon with our bishop. Purpose is not to have more fun at the Mass. But how do you know that you're bringing people closer to God?
That's the question.
That is the real question, right? So, this is part of your challenge, part of what you should pray over, is how do I bring this experience that we are bringing this congregation one step closer to God? Not light years ahead, let's not be that magnificent about ourselves, right? We're making just this little teeny difference, you know, we're here we are, one little year of history in two millennia, one lifetime out of, how many popes have we had? A couple hundred? I don't remember. Those guys stay in office a lot longer than I do. So, okay? So, this is part of the challenge that I give to you, taking this home, right? Okay. Now I'm going to give you the hardest question. Okay.
That was pretty hard.
The question is, what is the positive question we need to ask at this point? Okay, group, what is it? I need ideas. Okay? What will take this conversation to the next level up?
So the question is,
I'm not asking for notes at each table. I'm asking for somebody to stick up their hand at this point. What is the question that will take this conversation to the next level?
Oh, what is it?
Yes.
What are you going to do about it?
Yes.
What's the next step you are doing?
What's the next step? Okay, so that's a good one. I like that. What else? Yes.
How do we integrate everything we've heard tonight back at home?
Oh, okay. Excellent.
What's the best thing you've taken from this week to help you move forward?
Ooh, what's the best thing you've taken away? How fantastic. And not just from the conversation tonight, but from the colloquium as a whole, right? Because this experience is feeding our souls, guys. This is why I want to come back. I don't know about you. Okay. What other question would take us to the next level? Okay. So, I am going to pick one that I pick is, what is it that you are going to take home and seriously work on? Okay? And it's going to mutate 15 times before you do. That's fine. I don't care. I want you to take away something that you've heard from tonight, from the colloquium. Okay? And do it in your context. And, as an extra requirement, I require you to speak that verbally to your table and capture it on the paper, because this will be inspiring and all get out the rest of us. You guys have the wisdom. Okay? You have the wisdom and the diversity.